This sermon is brought to you by Buford Road Baptist Church. The speaker today is Pastor Tony Cahoot.
I want to ask you five questions this morning as we gather for just a few moments in this celebration of life service for Linda, because we're going to be talking about life. As I mentioned just a few moments ago, death does not end all, and we will all be somewhere forever. As I look out across this congregation, I recognize that there are several people here this morning, many that I do not know. And the truth of the matter is this, that if you never know me, you'll miss nothing. But if you never know my Jesus, you'll miss everything. And that's what I want to talk about for these next few moments. I believe that's what the family would want, and I certainly believe with all of my heart that that's exactly what Linda would want this morning. And so I want to ask you five personal questions. Again, four of which I'm going to give you the answer to, and maybe you will wonder about some of them. Just a few days ago, I spoke on this subject, and at the end of the service, there were several people gathered in the lobby, and I had a precious family, 80 plus years. A man and his wife stood in the lobby, and they came to me and they said, "Pastor, you answered some questions about heaven that we have wondered about most of our lives." And if that is the case with just one person here today, it will be well worth our time. I know Linda would celebrate in heaven with Jesus if there is just one person that we can help today. Whether it be in the answer of a question or whether it be in the personal relationship that you have with the Lord Jesus. Job, the great servant of God, asked this question centuries ago. He said, "If a man dies, shall he live again?" I don't know, maybe you've wondered about this thing of death. What really happens when a person dies? We sing about heaven, we talk about heaven, we preach about heaven. There are artists who draws pictures or paints pictures about heaven. There are so many wonderful displays about heaven. Whether it's in music or the choir, as Miss Teresa just sang a few moments ago. And so heaven can be presented to us in multi different ways. And I want you to think about this, because there are so many different ideologies and there are so many different denominations on this planet, so many different faiths, so many different types of beliefs. There are people in this world who believe that when a person dies, that that's just the end of things. They lived a life, the life is over, and the only thing left is memories. There are people who believe that when a person dies, that they're reincarnated. If they were a man in this life, they can come back in another life and live life as a woman. And then it's sort of like a hamster's wheel. It just keeps continuing and going on, and it never ends, and it keeps evolving. There are those that believe that when a person dies, that they go to this place between earth and heaven, between man and God, and they're depending on their loved ones to either work them out, pray them out, buy them out, advance them a little bit closer to God. Again, in a world with so many different ideologies and faiths and denominations and beliefs, people believe all sorts of things about as to what happens when a person dies. What do you believe? You might say, "Well, Pastor, I've never been asked that question that direct before," but it's an important question. What do you believe? Maybe you've wondered this about heaven, and question number one is this: do you believe that heaven is a real place? Have you ever really wondered about it? I mean, out of everything that a church maybe that you go to, or that you watch by internet or television, you hear so much about heaven, but have you ever really wondered, is it really real? In times like these, especially, we want it to be real. But have you ever really wondered? I want to give you the answer to that question, and all I have before me today is the Word of God. I have nothing else. And if you've ever wondered if heaven is a real place, is it really real, then listen carefully to the Scripture. Because I would not want anybody to leave here today with an ounce of a doubt in their mind or their heart. I want to assure you that heaven is just as real of a place as the place where we're sitting right now. And it's real not because I want it to be real for Linda at this moment or for this family at this moment or even for you. But I make the declaration this morning that heaven is real because Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, said it was real. This is what he said. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled," in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. "Ye believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." He said, "I go and prepare you a place." Now get this. He didn't say, "I go and prepare you a warm and fuzzy thought." He said, "I go and prepare you a place. And if I go and prepare you a place," he said, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So I want to assure each and every one of you today that if you have ever wondered if heaven is really real, all we have to go by is the Word of God. And here's the thing about the Word of God. It's a book of faith. We either believe it or we don't believe it. And I will make this declaration to you that if the Bible is wrong on one thing, then it's wrong on everything. All we have is the Word of God. And it's a book of faith. You believe it or not. But if you choose to believe that this is the Word of God, the infallible, inspired Word of God, then this is what we believe, associating ourselves with that belief. That heaven is real, not just because we want it to be a warm and fuzzy place in times like these, but it's real because Jesus Christ said it was real. Question number two. Maybe you've wondered about this in connection with heaven before in your life. Well, Pastor, if heaven is real, does a person go to heaven immediately when they die? Well, friend, that depends on what you do with Jesus Christ. Because the Bible presents it in several places in Scripture, but it talks about this. It says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. This be in Christ thing, I want you to think about that just for a moment. Because the truth of the matter is, nobody will ever stumble into heaven. Linda did not get into heaven from a side door, a back door. She didn't get there because she was a wonderful person. And all of these wonderful things that this family has said, those are not the things that got her there. She did not get to heaven by an accident. She realized that the only way to get there was through Christ, in Christ. And so the question is, does a person go to heaven immediately upon their death? Again, that depends on what you do with Jesus Christ. It's not by your works, not by your education, not by your money. It's not by any good deed. It's all about what God's Son Jesus did on the cross for our sins. How that God the Father gloriously raised him from the dead on the third day. But the answer to the question is this. Does a person go to heaven immediately upon their death in Christ? And here's what the scripture says. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse number 8, the Apostle Paul said it this way: to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We've had Linda on our prayer list for quite some time here at the church. And we have been requesting special prayer for her many times. We have prayed and we prayed and we prayed. God had another plan. He had another purpose. And we prayed and we prayed and we kept praying, and we would not take her off of the prayer list. We would not stop doing that. We continued to pray. But here's what happened. When Linda finally took her last breath, because she was in Christ, she was born again. Scripture says we cannot go to heaven unless we're saved. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Linda was. She gave her heart to Christ. And so she, being in Christ, when she took her last earthly breath in this life, she immediately went into the presence of God. Again, not because of anything she did personally for herself, but because of what Jesus did for her on the cross. So, question number one, if you've ever wondered if heaven is a real place, yes, it is. Why? Because Jesus Christ said it was. Does a person go to heaven immediately upon their death? That depends on what you do with Jesus. In her case, yes, because she gave her heart to Jesus. The third question is this. Maybe you've wondered about this many times. And this is the question that I asked just a few days ago, where this lovely couple stopped me in the lobby and said, "Thank you for giving me the answer." The question is this. Well, if heaven's a real place and we go to heaven in Christ, as you say, immediately upon our death, will we have real bodies in heaven? Have you ever wondered what life will be like in heaven? What is it like to be there? What will we be like when we get there? The scripture says, "Eyes have not seen, nor ears have heard, what the Father hath prepared for them that love him." There's no way that I can definitively describe to you what it's going to be like when we get over there. I've never been. But this is what I do know. And it's hard to understand, and I get that, because we look at things like this from a finite perspective. But we have to remember, it was given to us by an infinite almighty God. Will we have real bodies in heaven? Yes, one day we will. But they will not be bodies like we have known in this life. These bodies are not made. Do you remember when we read from the Psalms just a moment ago? David said, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." These bodies are not made to live forever. These bodies get old. We get sick. We die. We have struggles, we have heartaches. Every person in here today is touched with some type of an infirmity. Whether you have two hearing aids or one, or eyeglasses or oxygen or a cane, or you take a pill at night to go to bed, or you take one to get up in the morning. Whether or not, whatever your circumstance may be, these bodies that we know, and that's all we know, are not made to live forever. According to the Word of God, the Bible says, yes, we will have real bodies in heaven. But here's the thing. We don't get that new body immediately upon death. What happens when a person dies in Christ, when we take that last earthly breath and we have exhaled it on this planet, in Christ, we take the next one immediately in the presence of God. There's no hesitation, no struggle, no problem, no reservation. We breathe our last breath. We exhale it in this life. And immediately we take the next one in the presence of God. Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But listen to this. When the Lord Jesus returns to this earth in what is called the rapture, some of you may have heard this word rapture before. That's when the Lord Jesus descends from the throne of heaven. The Bible says the trump of God will sound and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then those of us who are alive and remain will be caught up together and will meet the Lord in the air. It's at that point that our spirit, our soul, will reunite with our glorified new, brand new body. That's when we get the new body. When the dead in Christ will rise first, there's going to be a glorious transformation. We will at that point get a new body, a brand new body, a glorified body that will be made, that will be changed to live, as David said, in the house of the Lord forever. It will never die. It will never corrupt. It will never grow old. It will never be diseased. We will never need another pill, no other medications. We will have a glorified body fashioned in the likeness of the Lord's own bodies. John said it this way in Revelation chapter 21, in verse number 1, he said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." And in Revelation chapter 21, verse number 4, he said, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." So thank God there is coming a day when we will never experience another death, another heartache, another sorrow, another trouble, another trial, never again. So yes, in heaven, we will have new bodies, one fashioned and likened unto the Lord's own body. Question number 4 is this. Well, Pastor, if heaven is a real place, and you believe that's where Linda is today, absolutely, and you believe that she went to heaven immediately when she drew her last earthly breath, absolutely, that's what the Bible says. And are you saying that Linda will have a new body one day where she will never experience another heartache or sorrow? I assure you now that her spirit and soul that's in the presence of Jesus, she will never experience from the time of her death throughout all eternity another trouble, another trial, another ounce of sickness. Well, Pastor, if all of that's true, the question that I've wondered about a lot of times in my life is this: will we know each other in heaven? Heaven's a big place. You know, this world by large would like for you to think that heaven is a myth. It's an imagination. That it's ridiculous for people to believe in that. Or they believe that everybody's going. I assure you this, that everybody's not going. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. But will we know each other in a big place like that? Absolutely. And here's the scripture. The Apostle Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 12. "But then shall I know even as I am known." So there are 4 questions here that I've asked you where I've given you the answer. And that is this: is heaven real? Thank God, Sister Holly, to this precious family, heaven is real. We either believe the Bible to be true or we don't. And if you choose to believe it is true, then I can assure you from God's infallible word that it's real. Question 2, does a person go there immediately upon their death? That depends on what you do with Jesus. He's made a way. He made it possible. Number 3, will we have new bodies in heaven, real bodies in heaven? Yes, we will one day. Question 4, will we recognize our loved ones in heaven one day? God will make it all possible. Yes, we will. But the last question about heaven is this, and I've given you the first four answers, but I cannot answer the fifth one for you. The question is, will you be in heaven? You might have been led to believe all your life, well, you hope so at the end of the life, at the end of the way, at the end of the road. You just don't know. And maybe you've been taught there's no way to know. Only God knows the answer to that. That's not true. You see, you know where you're going to spend eternity. You might say, preacher, not me. I have no idea. I'm going to help you with that in just a minute. But I want to say something now that will leave most people speechless. You might say, I can't believe the preacher would say something like that, especially in the church, in the pulpit. But I ask you to hear me out. And don't judge it till I say it. And that's this. Listen carefully. Jesus Christ is not your best way to heaven. He's not another way to heaven. He's not the good way to heaven. He's not another way to heaven. He's not one of multiple ways to heaven. But the truth of the matter is this. He's the only way to heaven. In John chapter 14, Jesus said this. He didn't say, I'm the good way, I'm the best way, I'm another way, I'm an alternate way, I'm one of the many ways. He didn't say that. He said, I am the way, the truth and the life. And this is what he said. No man, doesn't matter who it is, Jew, Gentile, Muslim, Hindu, it makes no difference. He said the only way a person can go to heaven, Jesus said, is through me. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, I don't care who it is, no man cometh to the Father but by me. And so again, when Linda entered into the presence of the Lord, she went through Jesus. The only way. And I want to do something very special for you, Sister Ollie, and the family, all of you. As we bring these thoughts to a close, I believe Linda would want me to say what I'm going to say right now. I believe it with all of my heart. Again, I've never been to heaven. I believe it's real because the Word of God says it's real, but I've never been there. But I know what the Bible says about it. And I know what the Bible says about Jesus and Him being the only way. People will say, preacher, that's just too narrow-minded in a world that we live in today. I get that. But it doesn't change the fact that that's the way that it is. He is the only way. I can just imagine, because I've never been to heaven, but I know Jesus. I know what this Bible says about Jesus. I know that the Scripture says that He is the only way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through Him. And the Bible says this about Jesus, that He was a kind, He was a compassionate, He was a loving individual. The Scripture says that everywhere He went, He went about doing good for every person that was in His environment. I don't know if you realize this or not, but in all of the miracles that Jesus ever performed, He never performed one miracle for Himself. Never. Everywhere He went, He was either touching those who were blind and giving them sight, He was opening up those ears that were deaf, or He was making the mute speak, He was cleansing the spotted leper, He was raising the dead back to life, He was feeding multitudes with just fish and loaves, He was turning water into wine. Everything He did for the benefit of somebody else, never for Himself. If Jesus could perform one miracle for himself, what do you think he would have done? Well, if he turned water into wine, don't you think when they put the vinegar up to his lips on the cross, he could have turned the vinegar into water? But he didn't do it. Not even then did he perform one miracle for himself. He went on to touch this one and touch this one and touch this one. He would love this one back and he would say, "You without sin, throw the first stone." He would turn to this one and say, "Go and sin no more." And because of his kindness and his compassion and his love, I can only imagine that when Linda stepped inside of heaven's splendor and glory for the very first time, I can only imagine Jesus standing there at those gates of pearl, opening up his arms, those nail-scarred hands, and saying, "Welcome home, Linda. Come on into the joys of the Lord." And I can only imagine that as she took her first step inside of that wonderful place, instantly, in the breath that she took, the first breath in heaven, maybe Jesus would have said something like this: "Linda, this is your first day in heaven. Is there anything I can do for you today, your very first day?" And I don't know. I can only imagine this. I know what she wouldn't say, and I know what she would say. She would not say this: "Well, Jesus, if you're saying, because you're the great miracle worker, if I can have anything my heart desired, this is a wonderful place and I'd like to live here forever, but if I could have anything my heart desired, would you give me a body of health and send me back to my family where I could live another 15 years? Would you do that?" That's not what Linda would say. She would say, "Lord, if I could have anything my heart desires, it would not be that you send me back to my family and my friends, but it would be that one day, Lord, my family and my friends would come to me." And that's only possible by being in Christ. And here's how you get in Christ. We have to understand why Jesus came to this earth anyway. The scripture says in the Gospel of Luke chapter 19 and verse number 10 that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't come to this earth that people would write beautiful music about him and sing beautiful songs about him and to become famous. He came to this earth to be God's sacrifice for our sins, that Jesus, through his death, through the shedding of his blood, it would pay the price, make the atonement, purchase the pardon for my sins and your sins and all of the world. For God so loved the world, not just a few, he loved the world, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And when a person realizes that Christ is the answer, his blood is the atonement, the resurrection completes God's plan of salvation. And when a person puts their faith in Christ, just like Linda did, according to the word of God, we'll have everlasting life. Like David said, "I will live in the house of the Lord forever." This makes it possible. But I tell people all the time that nearly 52 Sundays a year, I stand here at the end of our Sunday morning services and I pray this particular prayer with him. By the way, it's the same prayer Linda prayed. And before I bring this service to a conclusion, I would want you to have the peace that Linda had. I would want you to have the assurance that she had. And if you ever hope to go to heaven, it's going to be through Jesus, not of any works that you have done. And so you have to understand that he's the only way. And if you believe that, just like Linda did, then I'm going to pray with you and for you at this moment and give you the opportunity that she had and pray the prayer that she prayed. And if you do that, friend, and her honor and her testimony and her legacy, that's a wonderful thing, but it will give you everlasting life. And you too, like her, can live and dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But it must be through Jesus. And so I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me in prayer. And I want to pray with you the same prayer she prayed. And if there is just an ounce of a doubt in your heart and your soul and your mind, you just don't know. You say, Pastor, I believe the Bible to be the Word of God. I just don't know that I have that 100% assurance that if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven. Then I want you to pray this prayer. It's the same prayer Linda prayed. And pray with me and mean it with every fiber of your soul today. Pray with me now in your heart and your spirit. Dear Jesus, I realize that I am a sinner. And by faith, I'm trusting you right now to be my personal Savior. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Cover me with your precious blood. I believe that God raised you from the dead. And I'm trusting you to take me to heaven when I die. God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
You listen to Pastor Tony Cahoot. For more information, visit our website at BufordRoadBaptistChurch.com.